Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Unemployment in South Dakota is low, 2.8%, but one number never tells the entire story. Marsha Holtman is Cabinet Secretary for the South Dakota Department of Labor and Regulation. She's been giving a workforce landscape presentation across the state this past 24 months, sharing insights into the South Dakota economy, and she's joining In the Moment today to offer an economic snapshot of our state. Secretary Holtman, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about this presentation, and just first give us an idea of how it fits into your role, and then we'll break down some of the facts and details.
Sure. Well, this definitely fits into my role as policy and decision makers, employers across the state, business owners. I think it's important to have data sets that we're all operating from, so we know the reality of some of the workforce challenges that employers are maybe facing. So I have tasked myself with getting out and presenting, visiting to groups large and small across the state in our communities of all sizes, just to share kind of that foundational labor market information to assure that we're having informed conversations.
All right, let's start with this idea of unemployment. And it's about more than one number, isn't it?
It is. And actually, the whole number surrounding unemployment and the unemployment rate, you know, that's probably the most common statistic that we look at when looking at some of our economic data as related to jobs. But I think there's a big misunderstanding of what the unemployment rate actually measures. So if in my world, I oversimplify. So for instance, it makes sense that either you have a job or you don't have a job, right?
Right.
And so then I go to the next conclusion that I'm either employed or unemployed. That seems pretty straightforward. And therefore, many of us assume that the unemployment rate measures everyone that's unemployed or, by that earlier definition, doesn't have a job.
Right.
But that's actually not what the unemployment rate measures, which really comes as a surprise to people.
Yeah, wouldn't it be easy if it were just that? So
right.
Tell us, what exactly does the unemployment rate measure?
It measures the number of individuals who have actively been seeking work in the past 4 weeks and are not employed. So you can see that really narrows the definition and does not maybe include individuals that have become discouraged or just been out of the job market for long periods of time, or maybe have, for a variety of reasons, never been in the job market.
Why during the past 4 weeks? I mean, is that sort of the same number that's measured nationally? And I mean, is this just a standard
Correct.
That
it's
we all agree on? So that we're talking about the same thing. I see.
It's the national methodology that's used. It's used consistently from state to state. And that way we're, you know, comparing apples to apples.
All right.
But you're right. It doesn't tell the full story.
So what, before we get into what that doesn't tell us, what does it tell us? You know, how should we look at that? What's the value of that number?
I think the value of that number is for employers. So they're really looking at who's actively engaged right now, who's ready to go to work today and has been showing that interest and has been looking for a job. So that's part of it. You know, those are maybe the people that are ready to step up tomorrow and fill a job. But when we're looking at a goal of everybody that wants to be or needs to be gainfully employed, how do we engage those then that have maybe fallen off of that measurement?
So before moving on to that, just for employers, that's an important number, because if that number is very, very low of those who are actively engaged and going out and looking, that tells me what if I'm trying to hire?
It tells me I'm going to have a challenge. And I will tell you that employers consistently across the state are saying right now it is difficult to fill some openings. There just are not the number of applicants they've maybe seen in the past, and sometimes not the right skill sets that they are seeking.
Sure.
So it's hard to fill openings.
So how many people is that in South Dakota? And do you break it down by region so that if you're, you know, in a different part of the state, that data is useful to you?
Yes, definitely. We can, any of the labor market data, we can break down by county or by area, so we can get to those specific numbers for a region. I was just going to look. So to give you an idea of what that really means in numbers for the state, and I want to get to my right data, so I'm giving you the current information.
Right.
For example, just this week, we've had over 19,000 jobs advertised in our South Dakota Works, which is actually the largest database in the state of job openings, and that's maintained by the Department of Labor. So, you know, some 19,000 jobs, but the number of unemployed is about 13,000. So there's that ratio is off and not even a one-to-one match. So it's no wonder that employers are sometimes having a problem filling positions. But we also need to look, so who's not engaged, who's not counted in that number, and then additionally, who's maybe underemployed and looking for an opportunity to improve their skills or to advance.
All right, let's go there. Let's look at what this number doesn't tell us. So, you know, we're going to, who else is out there who is actually unemployed or underemployed?
Well, and that's a little bit harder to measure. But we know that it's
which is why we always fall back on that one number, right? Because it's easy it fits in a headline.
Yep. And it's a number that everybody's familiar with, and they have a point of reference. Oh, three, anything under three is really low. So we kind of know that intuitively. Well, what it means for the Department of Labor, it's a really good time for us to remind people of how we can help them. We can help their neighbors or their children. So we have all sorts of services to help individuals either retrain and get new skills to improve their job situation or to enter the workforce. So, you know, just to get a plug out for our job service offices and how they can help anybody. In that capacity.
And that's interesting because I went down years ago with someone else who was sort of, you know, had some issues and were looking for resources. And I personally was astonished at how much was available to help people find the next thing. So there is an open door there.
There is. And when you look at those job posting numbers, obviously there's tons of opportunity, but we can help with things if somebody's in one of our programs, like gas money to get to the job for those first few weeks. If they need special equipment or shoes or boots, you know, we can help offset some of those things. Longer term, we can actually offset costs for somebody to go to a technical school training or an on-the-job training. So everything from that first interview and how to dress to, you know, longer term supports that we can offer.
All right. So let's get back to that. Who's not included in this number. And let's talk about people who are, you know, who are disengaged. Do we have a sense of how many of those people there might be? People who are not looking, or it's, you know, it's been more than 4 weeks and, you know, they're kind of falling off the active job search path.
Sure. And again, we can get at that if we just look at our population numbers in general. So over the age of 16, we have about 670,000 South Dakotans that are 16 or older. But then that includes everybody. So you're going to see a decline in workforce participation rate just naturally as people age and look forward to retirement and maybe move out of the workforce. But we have probably statewide about 200,000 people that are not in the labor force over the age of 16. But we have to subtract a lot of people out of that number as well, because 16, 17, 18-year-olds are still in high school. So that makes sense that they wouldn't be participating to those high levels. And you've got individuals that are in training in college and university. Those are census numbers, so it actually counts people that are incarcerated. And there's just a whole slew of reasons that individuals may not be in the workforce. So again, we can't look at that and go, oh, all of those people are available to work.
Right.
Not the case.
Exactly. So what are some of the other, as you do these, you know, workforce landscape presentations, what are some of the other key factors that people, you know, that you're bringing to the forefront for people? And then let's talk about what some of the misperceptions are.
Okay. Well, one thing I really like to focus on is our workforce participation rate in the state. And we do have one of the highest workforce participation rates in the country. And what that means is that over the age of 16, 69.7% of South Dakotans have a job. So that's a really high percentage. And that has held really steady over the years. I always use the phrase, we're kind of worker bees.
Right. You know, we like to work.
We're known for our work ethic. We show up. and the statistics support that. The one number that's kind of surprising to people, and I do this all the time in my presentations, is I'll ask, you know, ask you, how old were you when you had your first job?
Me? 14.
Yeah, 14.
Yeah.
That is the answer I get consistently across the state. We farm kids sometimes say earlier, but the reality that a lot of adults experienced was a first job at 14, and that is not the case for kids today.
Right.
So the workforce participation rate for 16 to 19-year-olds nationally has decreased down to about 30-some percent, and in South Dakota, we're at about 52%. So that means half of teenagers don't have or haven't had a job.
Right.
And we've decreased nationally from like 77.2% in the 80s. So that's kind of the reality I knew.
Yeah.
To 52% today.
That's big, right?
Yeah, it's a big decrease. And we could all address, you know, there's lots of reasons that happened, and it's not my place to make a judgment on if they're good or bad, but kids are more active.
Right.
Sports seasons are longer. Academics are more rigorous.
Right.
And parents maybe support children more, or, you know, are able to offer them more.
Right.
So the motivation to work is maybe slightly decreased.
Right. Values are changing as well as far as where those efforts should be going for your future. I mean, I was 14.
Yeah,
I worked
so
at Dairy Queen, and I had to walk to work because I didn't have a car until I, you know, worked uphill both ways.
Yeah. I didn't have my first car until I was 23, and they're like, what?
Yeah. And you had to pay for it yourself. I mean, and of course, a car cost, I mean, you know, I think I paid $1,500 for my first car, which a lot of people paid even less for a car, but I saved that up at work. And that's not the story with my daughter. She's driving a car that she did not make a car payment on ever. We gave her one of our old cars. So that's just how it worked out.
And I say, you know, those things are not good or bad, but it's the reality. And so with that reality comes the fact that a lot of kids have not had those first workforce learning opportunities.
Right.
You know, the things we learn on our first jobs, how to show up on time, how to play nice with others, what's appropriate appearance, attitude, attendance, all those things, they're not learning. So a lot of our efforts from the state are, how can we expose kids to those work-based learning experiences that they typically would have had in the first job? Because I'll tell you, it's very frustrating for an employer to look at a young adult and think, well, they should know these things, but they don't because they haven't had those experiences.
Right.
So
interesting. Well, we could do a whole show on kids and work.
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, a topic I'm really passionate about. I don't think that work is a four-letter word, even though technically it is a four-letter word. But so many positives come from work. You know, it's our social networking a lot of times. The pride of being a part of something, contributing to a team, not to mention a paycheck. So
some parents who are listening who are saying you can get all that except for the paycheck from sports or dance or theater, or, you know, they're finding those skills in other ways, minus the paycheck, because you're paying for those you're paying for those experiences now.
Yeah, and that's, you know, a big cultural shift.
Yeah.
I hear from employers that there's actually, you know, kids that have finished college and never had a job.
Wow. Yeah.
And so if you look at somebody that's very, you know, bright on paper and has great education and background, but they're still going to need to have those foundational skills to be successful. So
yeah,
I think if we can provide some of that ahead of time, it cuts out and makes everybody more successful in the long run. So,
all right. Some of those other misperceptions, how do people sort of, you know, look at the data sets and get things wrong as far as what those numbers mean?
Well, I think an interesting conversation is on the wage side. And I think that we're seeing wages increase in the state. Another statistic that I point to a lot is we have many multiple job holders in the state.
Right.
And again, I think we have one of the highest, if not the highest, rate for multiple job holders. And often people reflect and say, well, that's because of our wages. And I think that's part of the conversation. But part of it is, too, that many of us are in small rural communities and we just step up and do the work that we see needs to be done. Mm. But just for instance, so remember all those jobs I said we had posted on our website?
Right.
Now, not all employers list a wage, which this is a plug out there to any employer listing. You will have better luck in getting applicants for a job if you tell them what it pays. And yet employers are still hesitant in a job order or job posting, in my world, to list a wage. So 15% of employers will tell somebody up front in a job posting what that wage is going to be. And the average for those wages is actually $45,000 a year. So we know that for the employers that tell us a wage and list with us that those wages are good wages.
Right.
So that's an important message, I think, for people to hear. And then in addition, just the overall average annual wage in South Dakota in 2018 was $46,000 a year or $22.13 an hour. So I think that's good news on the employee side and probably somewhat a response that the market is driving wages.
Right.
Employers have to find ways, and wages are one of them, to make their workplaces attractive to job seekers.
There are a whole lot of people listening who are making less than that. What's your message to them? It'll go out and find the next job because they're out there?
Yep, and to come in and work with us if maybe they're not confident in their skills or maybe they're lacking skills. A lot of it is as job descriptions change, people don't really understand what they have is relevant and how that transfers to a new job. So it's kind of how to assess what your current abilities are and then market yourself appropriately or fill in the gaps if you are lacking.
Because we look at, you know, Main Street businesses closing and we look at, retail shifting and just the way we do business shifting that also shifts the way we do work.
Correct. Yeah. And that's something that I think we're just beginning to see the impacts of. And I actually sit on a national work group on the future of the workforce and how that changes. And really, most of the studies show that we're not going to lose jobs, but the way we do work is going to change and different skill sets are going to be needed. So what I was able to do 20 years ago, that exact job may not exist in the future, but there's going to be some other role for me. You hear lots of conversations about being a lifelong learner.
Right.
Being willing to kind of pick up that next skill and to have that knowledge that you probably know a lot more than you're giving yourself credit for. You might just have to fine-tune something.
Right. Love it. All right. Marcia Holtman, Cabinet Secretary for the South Dakota Department of Labor and Regulation. Very insightful. Thanks for clearing some of this up for us. We hope to have you on the program in the future as well.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I'll look forward to visiting with you in the future.